Welcome to Deft Decisions in Chaotic Conditions, How Experts Create Order from Turmoil, the thought-provoking series on how to set, align, and implement priorities. Here's the host of our show, management consultant, speaker, educator, and president of Business Alignment Strategies, Pat Lynch.
Welcome. I am Pat Lynch. I have as my guest today Aviv Shahar. Aviv is the founder of Aviv Consulting. He is an international consultant, CEO coach, author, and a world leader in the design of leadership and talent development programs for Fortune 100 companies. Aviv has extensive experience coaching executives and helping leaders to improve their effectiveness, strategic thinking, and collaboration. With clients in the United States and in countries around the world, Aviv's passion is to help leaders and teams develop their purpose and realize their potential for greatness. For more than 25 years, Aviv has specialized in helping leaders and teams improve collaboration, cultivate innovation, and accelerate breakthrough results. He brings cutting-edge methodologies to help executives enhance their creativity, develop clarity of vision, and engender radical trust, especially in critical situations. Aviv's experience in coaching for high-level performance in critical operations was gained as a fighter pilot who is responsible for training other fighter pilots in the Israeli Air Force. Welcome, Aviv.
Thank you, Pat. It's great to be with you.
All right. Before we get started, I'd just like to let people know that the purpose of this interview is to get some insights into how to set priorities, ensure they're aligned with those of the organization, and then how do we implement them? So I'm expecting great things here. So let's get started. If you could tell us just a little bit in what types of situations you find yourself setting priorities, or you have found yourself setting priorities, I'm most interested in describing the process by which you set priorities, or if you use any particular tools or methods.
Sounds great, Pat, because I think it's a great place to start. The first thing I'll say is you're absolutely right. Priorities are situational, or rather the way we set priorities must be considered in a situational context. And what I mean by that is that the priorities depend on your situation, on your role, on the needs of the situation you're in, and so on. And the second point I'd suggest is that priorities really follow your alignment. It's an expression of what's important in the situation you're in. And in that sense, priorities is an expression of your value, your values in action. When you act your values, you express those values in the way you prioritize your actions. So, yes, I've been in a variety, in many different situations in my personal and professional journey. And if you like, we can review different ways and different frameworks that I applied in different situations, ranging from being a fighter pilot to being a consultant and a coach to CEOs to developing and practicing my own entrepreneurial drive in my business.
You know, I think that would be, I mean, to me, it would be fascinating. And since this is my interview, let's go down that path. I think you bring a perspective that other people do not have, in that you had a somewhat unique career as a fighter pilot that then must have informed things that you did subsequent to that, such as the coaching that you do with CEOs and your own consulting work. And I would love to know, how did this process work for you over time?
Okay. Great. Well, what I can offer is how I view it from today, looking backward at the journey. And, of course, I'm wiser today than I was 25 years ago.
We all like to think we are, don't we?
Absolutely. looking at the experience of a fighter pilot, I would say the priorities are very clear, were very clear. Priority number one is to stay alive. You had to do whatever it was you needed to do to stay alive. Anything else really is secondary. If you're dead, there is nothing else you can do. So how does it relate to other circumstances each person can relate from that, whether it's literally stay alive or whether it's stay alive in your function or your role or whether your company needs to stay alive. But in that sense of the fighter pilot experience, priority number one was literally staying alive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Priority number two was building readiness. This was the main objective of practice. You train and practice to maintain optimal readiness. You've got to be prepared today to what you will be called to do tomorrow. So most of your preoccupation is really about building readiness after doing whatever you need to do to stay alive.
Okay.
And number three is about improving capabilities. It's about understanding your limits. It's about practicing comfort on the edge of the envelope and, if you like, pushing the envelope to improve your capabilities. And a recent great example, of course, is Sally Sullenberg, who landed in the Hudson. If you think about his performance, he wanted to stay alive and keep his passengers alive, and he spent his entire life, as he recounted in various interviews in his recent book, that his entire life was a preparation to that moment. His entire career was about building readiness and improving capabilities to be able to deliver the performance that he delivered in that landing in the Hudson River. So we can all look up to him and derive the exampleship in that experience.
I think you're right. I've started to read his book, which, by the way, I think is fascinating. And as you were just saying that, I was looking at or thinking of those three points that you just mentioned with respect to the ways that you set priorities as a fighter pilot. They're exactly the same.
Yes.
Only the context is different.
That's correct.
But the process is the same.
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
And I think in each and every circumstance we find ourselves in, whatever role or function, yes, you've got to stay alive. You've got to look after yourself, because if you're not there in the best, most optimal condition, you cannot perform. And then you need to maintain and improve readiness and build capabilities.
Yeah, and I think that, that's a great example too. Let me ask you, earlier you said that priorities are situational and they represent your values in action. Can you speak to how values and action are related or were related to your priorities when you were acting as a fighter pilot?
Well, these three are actually an expression of the values.
Okay.
Because value one is to stay alive, and expressing it in action is what I just described.
Okay.
And so is the case with maintaining readiness and developing and cultivating capabilities. But I can give you, if you like, another example of acting your values and values in action.
Okay.
In the framework that I often use as a consultant and in the capacity of a CEO coach, as we look to clarify and articulate priorities with senior executive teams, when we work on strategy framing or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the framework we often use there is what I call the four buckets to review and manage and lead as a senior executive. And the four buckets are, number one, the strategic bucket. Number two, the operational bucket. Number three, the leadership and people bucket. And number four, the financial bucket. And I propose that when you have a management and leadership role, you have to review these four, whether it's a certainly in a corporate setting, and if it's your own company, but also if this is a not-for-profit or any other organization, because these are really four dynamics or four dimensions that you've got to take into account.
Right. And so the question then becomes, among those four buckets, how does one set priorities?
Okay. Well, let's first work inside the bucket.
Okay.
So here are three questions that I think we ought to ask ourselves in each of the buckets. The first question, you've got to start with a strategy, because if you don't have the right game plan, if you don't have the strategic, the right strategy, then all the other three will not be very helpful, because you're heading in the wrong direction. And so my first question for you to contemplate and reflect on as you look at your priorities, do we have the right strategy? And I propose that your first priority is to make sure that you have the right strategy. And this is why I said in the beginning it's situational, because your role may be higher in the organization and therefore has a larger strategic component, or lower in the organization and then your role is by greater proportionality tactical. Even in mid-level or line-level management, there is always some strategic component. And so you've got, in the way you do whatever you do, even how you strategize your day and your week and your months.
And there's always a tie back to the organization strategy, right?
Correct.
Okay.
They have to align. They have to align. So the first question, this is strictly about the organizational strategy, absolutely. So the first question is, do we have the right strategy here?
Okay.
Second question is, what game changers are plausible? Because we operate in an ecosystem. We are not operating in a void. And so we've got to consider what game changers are plausible and how are these likely to impact the ecosystem and the strategy. And then together with that, we have to ask, number three, what are the vulnerabilities? What are the blind spots that are plausible? Because both game changers and vulnerabilities will instruct us in terms of readiness and capabilities that we need to cultivate. So this is the strategic bucket. And how do I prioritize in the strategic bucket? Well, I'd say the strategic bucket is first. And if you're able to answer those questions, you are clear to engage with the operational bucket.
And so the order of those four is very purposeful, is what you're saying. Is that right?
Correct. But in real life, they are not so much of a separate bucket. You zoom in and out of all, because they interrelate. I'd propose that if you engage in a priority setting exercise, you will follow the order. If you then follow the sequence of evaluating on a weekly basis where you are, they may be more interrelated.
I was
so in the operational bucket, I propose that you've got to first ask, are we executing well on all fronts? Where are the breakdowns that we need to attend to, and what are some opportunities to create breakthroughs? So number one, are we executing well on all fronts? Number two, where are the breakdowns that you need to attend to because they threaten your operation? And number three, what are some breakthroughs that we can create here to accelerate, to optimize, to raise the bar? And in terms raising the bar in terms of efficiency and effectiveness. The third bucket is the leadership and the people bucket. And we have, as leaders and managers, we've got to ask ourselves, do we have the right people? Do we have the right leadership depth? And number two, what new capabilities do we need to cultivate? Because we may have the right people for where the organization is today, but if our strategic roadmap says that next year or the year after that, we need to be able to deliver services and products that we are not delivering today, then we obviously need to either develop these capabilities or hire these capabilities. And again, number three, what are some vulnerabilities that we need to attend to in terms of leadership depth, in terms of succession building? So if you like, Pat, what I'm discussing here is big, the large framework of priorities inside of which in each of these buckets we have to be able to articulate
the
priorities.
Right.
Number three, and this may not be relevant to every in every role if you are not managing a P&L, but I'd propose that in every situation that there is a financial component, and it's important that people do that in their professional life as well as in their personal life. And the financial bucket, we ought to ask questions such as, are we meeting our goals? Number two, what new investments must we make? And this relates to capabilities we want to develop or to operations we need to improve or to strategic goals and objectives that we have in the 6 to 12 to 18 months horizon. And again, what are our vulnerabilities in terms of managing cash flow? So I find that these four buckets, the strategic, the operational, the people and leadership, and the financial, is a simple overview of the business and the organization instead of which we can set priorities.
Right. So one of the questions that comes to mind is, and I can hear people asking now, this is great. When we have the time, we would love to do this. Look at the situation in which we find ourselves now. You know, we've got budget cuts, we have layoffs, we have furloughs. You know, we're overwhelmed by the amount of work we have to do, and, you know, we have to serve our customers. We don't have time for all of this. How would you reply to that?
It's a great question. Well, first I'll say that take a step back, take a deep breath. Overwhelm is a condition we all experience in this environment, at moments or hours or days. I would say that you first have to realign yourself and realign your priorities if you are to be impactful, and that you have to step back from the urgent and from the panic state of overwhelm and recognize what's most essential, what's most important. And I'd propose that what's most important is that you recognize your most precious assets. And, Pat, your most precious assets, my most precious assets, the most precious assets of any of your audience is their individual and organizational time and energy. I'd propose that when we set priorities, it's even more than about time. It's about time and energy. I don't mean the utility energy. I mean your energy, your physical, mental, emotional energy, because that's the currency that you bring to what you do.
Okay.
Be there as a performer, as a person that gets up in the morning and need to accomplish tasks and goals and objectives. So I would say you have to carve time. You have to attend to you, to your priorities, to your these two most precious assets, your time and your energy.
So how do you set the priorities? It, you know, that's what we want to help people do. When they do feel overwhelmed, it, you know, we say, yes, step back and, you know, what is most important? Can you maybe give an example that would illustrate something that you've seen, something that you've helped someone do, something that would make this a little bit more tangible for people?
Well, let me first offer another quick framework
Okay.
With energy and time, because I'm proposing that these are precious currencies, and that as an employee or as a manager, as a leader, your energy is the most essential currency you bring to work. And so, because without energy, even time means nothing.
Right.
So you've got to begin to notice acutely when you are, because, okay, you wanted an example. Here is an example. I was coaching an executive who was responsible for a large division of a publicly traded company. And she was excelling and performing well in most of her tasks, but she disclosed with me and shared that one of her direct reports gave her a lot of trouble, and somehow she was not impactful in being able to communicate with that person. And that was actually a talented person, but that person presented her with a range of challenges, and she felt a little overwhelmed. And so when we coached and worked through the issues, what we discovered was that the most essential was how she was aligned, how clear she was in her mind about that person and what she wanted to accomplish in the meeting. And we developed this practice that before she would engage in the meeting, she would take 10 minutes, sit down and clarify in her mind what was it that she wanted to accomplish in the meeting. She actually, I got her to write down what would be the ideal outcome of that meeting. What would it look like if the meeting was successful? And that she walked into the meeting with this clarity. And the most important outcome was that not only meetings were more effective, she was able to reduce what sometimes would carry to an hour and a half, was able to achieve in 35 minutes. What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is that what we produce and what we achieve in meetings, and people spend a lot of time in meetings, is often an output or an expression of the degree of clarity that ideally all people, but in the first place, the person running or leading the meeting, comes to the meeting with. If you know what you need to achieve, what's the outcome, what a successful, impactful meeting look like, then the chances are the meeting would be much more impactful.
Right. And I think that's a great example because it illustrates two things for me. One is that it is critical to have a very clear picture of what it is you want to accomplish. And number two, that concept works in any situation. You don't always have to think of it as the clarity being around the organization's strategy. The clarity can also be around what is it that I need to have happen as a result of this meeting or this interaction or at the end of this task?
I absolutely agree, and let me give you another example.
Okay.
You really have to look at your number one priority is to reduce stress, to reduce anxiety. I'm talking from the leadership point of view with your team and to reduce stress with yourself. You've got to try to eliminate or at least reduce whatever preoccupies people that is standing in the way, that is not enabling you and them be productive. Those things that suck your energy, you owe it to yourself to reduce exposure to what drains your energy. And this is how I relate your priorities to recognizing that your energy is your currency. And after you have done that, after you are able to, by the way, I do not mean to sound in this callous, but some people, for example, they drain your energy, and so you've got to reduce the time you spend with them because your life is important. Your life is very precious, and your time is very precious. You've got to stay focused on where you can be most productive.
Mm-hmm.
So reduce stress is number one, and number two is you've got to improve services. Wherever you are, your job is to create value. You create value by improving conditions, by improving processes, by improving opportunities, by improving value. So if you're not reducing stress, you've got to look around and say, where is the opportunity for me to improve things? And that's your priority.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, create joy and happiness. I know that sounds a little soft, but imagine that all leaders and all managers were a little more aware that when we create happy teams, when we cultivate happiness and joy at work, especially in this environment, we are better performers. We are able to achieve goals and objectives more effectively in a shorter time with a better energy. And guess what? Happy employees attract happy clients.
Right.
And I know it sounds a little out there, but look around and see where you are attracted to come and visit, with which services you enjoy to work, and where you like to come back to. These are places that are happy to see you.
Right.
And enjoy your business, and therefore you enjoy their service.
Right. So for organizations that have been through and maybe still undergoing, you know, budget cuts and, you know, layoffs and furloughs, it sounds like what you're saying is you still need to pay attention to people, and you still need to support them in ways that enable them to, you know, maintain and sustain their energy.
Totally. Even more than that, you have to pay more attention than in any other time, because if people now, with this increased productivity, which is another name to say we are trying to deliver the same work, the same results with 80% or 70% of the workforce, your people are your assets, greatest asset, and you have to pay attention. You have to pay a very close attention. Can I give you one more final, perhaps, framework of how I align my priorities?
Please do.
In my work, priorities is really an expression of living on purpose. I'm very lucky to be able to have my work in an arena that is an expression of my gifts and my capabilities and my passion. So I see priorities as something that they take care of themselves as long as I am clear in my alignment in terms of living on purpose and working and delivering on purpose. All I need to do is I need to make sure that I'm clear and well aligned to the purpose of what it is that I'm trying to do. As long as I'm clear of that, then the priorities, they take care of themselves.
Okay.
If I need a framework, I use the TOP framework, the T-O-P framework.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
I'm going to have to ask you to explain that, please.
Absolutely. It's the first time ever shared. So your audience is going to be the lucky to first time hear this.
Well, thank you.
T stands for threats. I've got to ask, what are the threats to what's important for me, to those things I care for, and what are the threats to my business? O are the opportunities. What are the greatest opportunities? One of the things I learned earlier on is you may have 7 opportunities on your plate. Well, the priority is that you address the bigger opportunity, because often you find that the amount of work for a small opportunity and for a large opportunity are similar.
Mm-hmm.
So the greater the opportunity, the greater the leverage. If you can do the same amount of work and deliver 5 results or triple the leverage, then that's your greatest opportunity. And the third one, the P, is passion.
Okay.
If I attended to the threats and the opportunities and I have time and energy, I follow those things that I feel most passionate about and that give me energy. And I listen to the energy, to what attracts me. And you can say, well, that's easy for you to say because you have your own business and you're an entrepreneur. I would submit that many people in their work can bring an aspect of that awareness, their work too, and they will be better performers and they will find that the workday is even more exciting.
Right.
So I'd suggest follow, look at the threats, look at the opportunities, and listen to your passion.
So where in this, I'm just curious, because it sounds like, if I understood you correctly, it's this order. It's got to be the threats, then the opportunities, and then the passion.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Help me out here.
No, actually, they're all top priorities, because if I've taken care of threats and I am focused on the biggest opportunity in front of me, then often what would happen is that by addressing and channeling energy and focus to this opportunity, it is the best way for me to address other threats, and it is a way for me to engage my passion. So rather than seeing these as three buckets, if you like, they are expressions or facets of the same kaleidoscope. You could use this when there is a family debate around the kitchen table. I know people no longer sit around the kitchen table, and that's a shame. But let me just go with this line from it. You could use this around the kitchen table when a family is planning the next vacation, in terms of where will they go and what do they want to do and where do they want to hike and which mountain they want to climb and so on. They've got to consider these three. They've got to consider the opportunities and the passion of everybody around the table. And as they plan, they need to consider what are the threats or what are the concerns that they need to address. And if priorities of all people involved around the table are addressed successfully, then there can be a very enjoyable and happy vacation.
Let me just play devil's advocate here for a moment. There are people who would say, I think, that they could spend the entire time dealing with threats because of, again, you know, this is exacerbated by the recent economic downturn, but it, you know, I think this, there are what seem like chaotic or crisis situations on a day-to-day basis. And one can spend one's entire day in dealing with threats and never get to what the issue is. And so how would you make the passion or make the vision a priority when you also have competing interests here? I mean, how...
It's very clear.
Yeah.
It's very clear. It's a great question, and I've got a great answer for you.
Oh, I would expect nothing less.
You've got to... The answer is in... And we often discuss this in executive coaching, is in the C field. It's the lesson of the C field. Sometimes I call this, you've got to take your vitamin C. Vitamin C is, you've got to draw a circle and say, what's in my control field? Typically, Pat, when people talk to me about, well, there are so many threats, no. What they really do is they get preoccupied with fears, with worries, with concerns that are outside their control field. There are really three fields. The inner field is the C field, the control field. And around that field, there is the I field, the influence field. And then the rest of the space on your pad, if you drew those two circles, is the field where you have no influence and no control. I would submit that you've got to address those things you can control, and there are always few of these, and they are specific. And then you've got to take care of what's working well, and you've got to attend to what's important and what's important for you, and you've got to create value. So sometime when a person asks you the question you just asked me, it's not so much of an objective situation they're in. It's the mental condition.
Mm-hmm.
It's how they perceive the circumstance they're in. What I will then do, I will get them to write down, okay, tell me what are the threats. And we will discover very quickly that there are two or three things in the control field that they can attend to, and we will devise the strategy or the tactic of how to address these. And sometime we will see that the best way to address these are to focus actually on the positive things you can do. discovering who are the most important stakeholders that you serve and say, okay, what is it that I can do today? What is it that I can do this week to create value for them? Because if I can create value for my most important stakeholders, then I become indispensable. And so you can be afraid until the end of times that you're going to be fired and there is this in the organization and something else. But if you create value, if you become a great value creator for the people around you, for your stakeholders, for your organization, the best strategy, it's the best priority. So discover their needs, discover their pain, and be proactive to create value for them.
Okay.
You help yourself by helping the people around you.
Is there anything else you would like to add about setting or aligning or implementing priorities?
I would say that this crisis time, this time of challenge, as counterintuitive as it sounds, is a great time to step back, especially as we are approaching the holidays. And if people hear this later, then it'd be a good time to address what is and reflect on what is really important for you and to invest in your own development, in your own growth, in your own professional development and of your capabilities, and to address that in the personal sense and in the organizational sense. And so I think your audience and your clients will do well, will be wise to use your services in that context, because good times, challenging times, are always both the best times to invest in our own development, because that is how we help ourselves create value and create value for the people we serve.
Well, thank you, Aviv, for sharing your expertise with us. We've been talking today with Aviv Shahar. He is the founder of Aviv Consulting. If you would like to know if you'd like to learn more about Aviv and his work, there are two ways you may contact him. You may go to his website, which is www.avivconsulting.com, and that's spelled A-V-I-V. Or you may visit his blog at www.avivshahar.com. That's A-V-I-V-S-H-A-H-A-R. Thank you so much, Aviv. And I appreciate everyone's listening. This is Pat Lynch, and I hope that you will join me in our next conversation. Until then.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Deft Decisions in Chaotic Conditions, How Experts Create Order from Turmoil, brought to you by Business Alignment Strategies. If you would like to learn how you can ensure that your organization's people, programs, and processes are aligned with its goals, contact us at www.businessalignmentstrategies.com.